The last couple of days have been quite full for us as believers. On Friday, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints, the communion of saints that one day we hope to fully participate in. Today we focused on all souls, on all those who have died and have passed from this life, and we pray we'll be able to join God in his fullness in heaven. And then we come to celebrate Catholic Education Sunday. And then we get a chance to focus on Zacchaeus, my hero. Not just because he's short and of small in stature that he has to climb a tree to see Jesus, but because he tells us in this story that St. Luke relates to us so much about the spiritual life and about the things that are necessary for us to grow in. And of course, it's a wonderful story of salvation that we all yearn for, to be saved. And to hear those words that Jesus speaks to us today, salvation has come to this house. And when we think of Zacchaeus and ourselves, it's something like this. Jesus says, look, don't climb too high in your tree. And don't try and hide from me. Don't waste all of your energy concerning your guilt as you see it. I need to talk to you. And I need to find out where you are and where you see yourself. Together, we can find a path beyond all excuses. We can get out of the maze and confusion of life. Look, the tree is actually sprouting, and I have come to serve you. What Jesus, I think, is saying to all of us, get down under the tree. Forget all the excuses. Let's sit down and talk. And in the course of the story of Zacchaeus and our story, I think the Lord makes a number of distinct points in the word tonight. One of them is that when it comes to the love of God, in order to fully experience it, you have to declare yourself lost and empty. And once you have acknowledged that you can't save yourself, that you are lost, that you are empty, then the process begins when we are found. It's almost like you have to name and face your own mask. Thinking of the Halloween image, we've got to take the mask off and let our true face be seen. And I think as we look at our lives, whether you're 6 years of age or 76 years of age, you can probably point to times in which you've experienced death at work within you, in your hearts, in your emotions, in your relationships, in your self-esteem. And once you begin to sense some of the dark, death-like spots, then you are prepared to begin the journey to Jerusalem. It's almost a time you have to stop feeling sorry for yourself and let down your own defenses, jump down from the trees in which we're hiding, give half of our belongings away, and who cares what other people really think? If they think we're a little bit nutty, that's all right. Who cares? What we really want to do is not to ever be robbed of the precious gift of God's love. And God offers us that once again tonight in the Eucharist. The second element of spirituality that's suggested by the Zacchaeus story is this is very personal. So, so personal. So affectionate. Jesus is going on the road and he sees this little guy up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. And he says, come on down. I must stay at your house tonight. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is somebody who's really important. The neighbors had been making fun of him. He was a tax collector pushed to the side because of his collaboration with the Romans. And all of a sudden, here is this alleged Messiah, this Jesus, this wonderful person who is intent upon healing. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. And Zacchaeus begins to be treated as a son. And treated as a son of God, he begins to recognize that he is surrounded by brothers and sisters. He rediscovers his relationship with them. He goes beyond feelings of isolation and enrichment of himself, and he begins now to think about sharing. And of course, he starts to divide his wealth. He says, half I'm going to give away. And he said, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to give them back four times what I took away. And Jesus says personally to him, today, salvation is given to this house. There's a third thing suggested by our reading with Zacchaeus, and it's something that's connected with sin that we can easily overlook. The guilt of sin, of course, can be forgiven. And we've experienced that over and over again in our lives. Guilt is erased. It's no longer present. It's a tremendously liberating experience to have, say, a priest pronounce the words of forgiveness over us in the name of God and in his church, and you walk out and you feel at peace, liberation. But we often forget that sin changes everything. It changes the world for worse. And sometimes sin has very significant consequences. And behind us, we can see the trace of sin in our own lives. Let me give one simple example. If someone sets fire to their neighbor's house, that doesn't mean to say that life is over for them. They, of course, can be forgiven by that sin of burning down the neighbor's house. But there still is a big problem. The house has been burned to the ground. The sin can be forgiven, but you still don't have a house. And of course, this is one of the things that we see, that sin has consequences. And when we've been forgiven, we must try to do what we can to heal the consequences. And sometimes sin is not always, the consequences are not always external. They're not always maternal and material. Let's take for example how faith can be weakened by bad example. How someone's heart can be destroyed by mistrust and betrayal. Faith can even be extinguished. And sometimes it takes a great deal of effort to repair the damage that is done. So, for example, nobody had this temptation this weekend because it's too cold. But let's suppose that you were looking at the calendar tomorrow and you said, you know, this could be the last possible day I have to play golf before the season ends. Now, you don't have to worry about it. This is all make-believe, of course. But supposing you had thought that way and you thought to yourself, yeah, I can't get to church Saturday night. And, you know, the family can go to church and they won't mind me skipping out. But if you have a 10-year-old son and he starts to think, Dad's playing golf on Sunday. What does that lesson mean? Golf for Dad is more important than church. Or to get a little more closer to home, perhaps, hockey sometimes can be more important than going to Mass on Sunday. How do you repair the damage of the witness that is given within family life when something like that happens? How do you once again restore and open up the possibilities of the fullness of faith that God has to come first? When maybe hockey or golf have taken their place, or shopping for groceries, whatever it might be. what we have to recognize is that genuine repentance always carries with it a willingness to make amends, and then a new beginning is possible. A new beginning starts. God creates a new beginning. But there's one other thing I would like to point to in the Zacchaeus story, and that Zacchaeus vows to change his life. And he says, I'm going to give money to the poor, I'm going to make restitution fourfold, but he will stay in Jericho. Nowhere in the Zacchaeus story does Jesus say to him, follow me, come and be one of my disciples. We're heading for Jerusalem, pack up a knapsack for yourself and let's get going. He stays in Jericho. He will stay there. And there in Jericho, he will witness to the love of God and to his faith. He will try to shape his world, his environment, and the world around him in Jericho. Salvation happens in history, in the midst of our story, in the midst of our neighborhood, our world, in this earth, here and now, in Calgary, and not anywhere else for us. This is where salvation happens, in history, in the midst of our story. This is something truly exciting, that you don't have to run off and go to a seminary. You don't have to run off and join a convent of nuns. You don't have to run off and be a hermit withdrawing from the world. You have to live your faith in Jericho. And for us, that means in Calgary. And this is something distinctive about Christianity. We are called to shape the world in which we live, just like Zacchaeus. Some other religions, like Buddhism, for example, exercises a great fascination for many people. But Buddhism fundamentally is an escape from the world. In Buddhism, all desire is evil. It causes suffering. And what you have to do in Buddhism is withdraw and have no desires. Get to that state of nirvana. But the Jewish and the Christian faith says, no, no, it's just the exact opposite. Creation is good. Human will and desire are good. You can enjoy a good meal. You can enjoy a good wine. You may be happy in embracing your wife or your husband. You may rejoice when you succeed in business. But your desire should not be to wish for something that is evil, for something that is against God and the order of creation and your vocation. You are engaged in the world and for the world. Zacchaeus could return and even be a toll collector. I'm sure after meeting Jesus and being forgiven and making restitution, his life was no longer characterized by fraud. But he lived in Jericho. The coming of Jesus in the incarnation always consists in a deeper incarnation of God into the world, into our lives, into the world in which we live, the world in which we, along with Jesus, have residence in. It is extremely important for us to remember that the Son of God became flesh. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word of God, Jesus' Word, has to become flesh in us in our situation in life. So as we think about becoming a saint, praying for our loved ones, Catholic education, we've got to look at Zacchaeus and say we can learn something from this guy. Not to run away and hide, but to get down off the tree and come and let Jesus enter into our house. That this is something personal. That this involves changing from a path of sin, making restitution, giving to the poor. But it's also something that happens in this world, in Calgary, in our Jericho.